Thanks, Rian. Sure, what a tender moment, eh? This morning, God's at work, and just really trust that He'll continue to minister to us this morning as we just sit under His Word. It's probably one of the most powerful things that we can do is have the Word of God preached to us. And so, I'm a frail man, a normal person. If I sat like this, we're all equal in value, we just differ in function, and there's a part of the journey that God has called me to, dragging me, kicking and screaming many years ago. And I remember a prophetic lady when I'd just been exposed to the prophetic, and as she was speaking that, she says, "The Lord's brought you from the back of the queue," and she says, "I see your feet digging in." There's, you know, have you ever, you know that tightrope, or that, what do they call it, toe track, you know, when you pull people, and the feet were in like that. And she said, "I saw you kicking and screaming." And she said, "I saw these lions behind you." And she says, "And the Lord says, I'll have no more of that." And not being exposed to the prophetic, I don't know, there was something in me that just said, yeah, is God. And so from that place, God actually changed things in my life and started to move into a space where many years later, I often will say to folk, I never chose this. God chose me for this. And so I just want to be faithful with what has been entrusted. And so I do want to honor time this morning. It is a massive privilege. I did phone Sean and I said, "Look, I know we were coming through for the dedication." And I said, "Sean, I don't normally do this," "but if we're going to come through, I'd love to serve you." So I wasn't invited by my I actually gatecrashed his party. And I said to him, "I'd love to serve you." I said, "If I can be a blessing to you in any way, I'd love to do that." And Sean was just wonderfully opened up the pulpit. So I'm very grateful to Sean and to Rian, the eldership team here, allowing for this opportunity over and above the dedication this morning. So this morning, I want to touch on something which I think God really wants to do something here. I've been speaking to Rian in the week. And so what I'm trusting is that we are going to leave this place encouraged, but having our hearts searched and transformed. And I do want to say this, as I share this message, I'm not speaking down to you. One thing I've learned, that when I preach in the pulpit, that God goes, "Is it? Let's test this." So I'm now telling you that as I preach this message, I'm preaching understanding that God's also searching my heart in this thing. And I know my flaws and my weaknesses. All right. So I'm going to ask the AV person at the back, if you wouldn't mind just sticking up Matthew 22, verses 37 and 30 to 39. Here it goes. It says, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment." Verses 38 to 39, it says, "And the second is like it, love your neighbors as yourself." Firstly, before I go into what I want to share this morning, is I think it's important for us to be reminded why we are here. We are here to love Him. As a congregation, our hearts are, "Lord, it's all about You at the end of the day." It's not just in our song, but everything that we do, our lives should be representing a heart of love for the Father. The second thing is that you see that word says, "And love your neighbor as yourselves." We're reminded that we are to love one another. We are fellow Christians. We are Christ followers. We love one another. So we have a heart for God and we have a heart for one another. So the next scripture I want to launch into is Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, as they get themselves ready there. And I'm just wanting to remind us, just to put things into perspective before I do launch into what I'm going to share. Have you got it there? Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. If you haven't got it, I'll read it here. All right, you ready? It says the following, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples.'" Say, "Make disciples." "Make disciples." "Of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Listen to this. It says, "And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." This morning, as we come together and we spend time under the Word of God, the Bible says that Jesus is saying, "And teach them to obey everything I've commanded you." Jesus is firstly operating under authority from God, giving an instruction. When you command somebody, it's actually an instruction of what needs to be done. It's not law. So Jesus is telling us, actually, you and I need to go and disciple all nations. Part of what I'm sharing today is that He's going to search your heart first, but then hopefully God will move powerfully enough in our lives that we can help other people in this particular area. As Christ followers, it's not left up to Sean and Chantal and the elders and the deacons to do it. It's all of us that collectively need to step in and say, right, Lord, I want to do what your word teaches, and I want to firstly walk in obedience, but then I also want to be discipling others and helping them with the rich truths of God's word. And so that's something that I hope that will really help you this morning. And again, it just lands with the fact that we love him, we've got to teach others to love him, and we've got to teach others to love one another. So now I'm going to ask if we can put up that slide that I sent through, Willem, if you can please do that, that'll be great. So I want to show you something here. This morning I'm going to be dealing with the trap of offense. And it's called, this year is what we call a scandalon. Now I've put the humorous part of this part here, but I want to ask if we can maybe go to the second one. We can leave that there for a while. Don't take offense. All right? And the reality is that an offense is a trap which is set by Satan. And it's very interesting that if you look at the trap of offense, the word scandalon speaks offenses or offense. A scandalon is the trigger of a trap where bait is placed. Now, if you look at that mouse trap there, how many of you have tried to catch a mouse? You'll put your bait out there, and the minute the mouse goes and takes a bite of that bait, the trap gets set off and the mouse gets caught. I do have to confess, though, and I want to repent before you guys today. Many years ago, when I was a little boy, I used to catch birds like this. And you would put your little bucket up, and you would put your bread out, and then what would happen is the doves would walk in and walk under the bucket, and you'd pull the scandalon out, and the bird would be caught. Interestingly, though, when you look at scandalon, or the trap of offense, what happened was, when the bird got caught, it got stressed out. And the bird started to panic, and there was disorder in the bird's life. And so I'm just wondering here, perhaps this morning, how many of us are possibly sitting here today where we're feeling a little bit out of sorts, a little bit out of order, because perhaps some of us have been caught by the trap of offense without us even realizing it. We're wrestling, we're pushing through things, but at the same time, God is now wanting to bring us to a place where he's shining his torch on us and say, is this perhaps the area that you need to deal with in your life? And so I think it's important for us to look at this topic, and what I am going to share, I'm trusting will help you to be real with yourself this morning, as I would be with myself, because we want to be set free from this thing. We don't want to live in a space of disorder. So this talk originally was stirred up by Ryan Kingsley last year in one of our leadership training times, where he spoke around this whole thing of scandalon. And he made a point, and he said he's highlighting that the atom bomb of offense is the one thing that can cause a break in unity, and that we need to deal with it. Friends, family, if we are battling with offense, it breaks the unity of the body. We need to be real about this stuff. You want to live free. You want to set free. Jesus is shining his light on our lives this morning to say, come on, man, let's deal with this thing and let's get over it. And for some of us, we've been carrying stuff for many, many years. And I can testify, it's not easy to get rid of some of this stuff. It's a process. It's a journey. But let's get to a place where we say, Lord, I no longer want to live with a space of offense over my life. And so we need to ensure that as a church, we are walking well together in this area. And I want to say to you that it's not just where in the context of our church family that we would have maybe offenses amongst one another, but you can have an offense in your marriage. You can have an offense towards your children. Your children can have an offense towards you. And some of you who are adults or are still children, if your parents are alive, you could have an offense towards them. And I want to encourage you this morning. These are the things that God wants to set you and I free from. All right. The other thing that I'm very mindful of offenses is that I felt like last year when I'd actually prepared this particular message, you know what one of the other great dangers is in terms of offenses? How many of you have ever heard of the secondary offense? Somebody says something sort of like a little bit of out of sorts about your husband. Huh? Who are they? Who are they to speak about my husband like that? Or who are they to speak about my wife like it, or about my children? And what happens is we pick up a secondary offense on behalf of someone else. I want to caution you. I think that is probably more dangerous than the person who had the original offense. And so we'll touch a little bit on that as we go forward. So I mentioned that I used to catch doves, and I can say respectfully, I never killed any of them. I also used to think I was a hunter and you'd want to bribe them and that, but I never quite did that. The fun part of Scandalon, I remember my late sister years ago, it was a slightly different one. She never got caught under a bucket or a box or anything like that, but I used to set up a rope in one part of our garden, and then she had this clipper bicycle. And what I made her do was come down the road flying, and then she would come onto the grass between some bushes and trees and that. And then what would happen is I would have the rope, and she would come flying down, and I would pull the rope up, and it would trap her and her little clipper bicycle and stop her dead. And of course, true to being the right brother that I was, I would turn the sprinkler system on. Needless to say, she got caught and was wet and was stressed out as a result of that. So there's a bit of a fun side to that, but there is a real side to it that can really cause damage to us. This morning, we have all at some point been offended or have offended others, if we're really honest with ourselves. You know, sometimes an offense can seem very subtle, and for many of us, it just continues to build over time. The important thing is that we need to be intentional in dealing with it. Offenses often can lead to a place of bitterness. It can lead to hatred. It can lead to anger. And you know, that if there's no forgiveness given, if there's no dealing with it, it can have serious eternal consequences for our lives. And I think that's something that we need to be mindful of. So 1 John 3 verses 15, if we can stick that verse up, I hope you can work with me on this. It says, anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. Now the Bible says if we're angry, you're a murderer. You can go and look at it. Go and read in the Gospels. And so we need to be mindful of this. If we are facing a situation where we've got issues and we've got anger and resentment and bitterness towards a brother or a sister, we need to be careful, because this is what Scripture teaches us. It's interesting that in Matthew 6, it also says in the Lord's Prayer towards the end, it says, if we do not forgive others, your Father in heaven will not forgive you. And so we're going to see why this is so important for us to deal with it. All right. If you continuously hold on to offenses, what it will also do for you, it can actually become detrimental to your emotional and your mental health. I don't know how many of us here, I know for me, where I've carried offenses, it's put me in a space that has been extremely unhelpful. I've battled at different times with depression, you hit lows and those kind of things. And so perhaps, I'm saying perhaps this morning, if you're finding yourself in one of those places, perhaps it could be that there's something that you need to deal with in your life. And maybe to ask the Lord this morning to show you if that is the case. Also, as I mentioned, offenses are usually something that is built up over time. Now, I don't know how many of you have got little ones here. I saw quite a few. But have you ever found yourself where you walk in a room where the kids have been playing and they've got all their Legos and their toys out? You know, if I was standing up here and they got their Legos and their toys out, and what they do is they put the carpet over it. Have you ever tried to walk over a carpet that has got a lot of stuff underneath it? It's very uncomfortable, isn't it? And so what happens is our carpet of life starts to get a lot of little obstacles under it. And so eventually our life's journey becomes something that's actually quite hard to walk out. And actually what we should be doing is, because like most parents will do in the evenings, they will lift the carpet and pack the toys away or get the kids to pack them away, etc. But for many of us, we have kept our carpet there when God actually today wants you to deal with this stuff, so that you can actually have a flat carpet and walk your life out the way that God's actually intended for you. And you know, these things that can build up in our lives, sometimes it could just be somebody didn't greet you as you walked through the door this morning. Maybe they just looked at you slightly differently. Maybe your husband or your wife said something in a manner that you thought their tone was a little bit indifferent. And so what happens is, as time goes by, it just builds up and builds up and builds up. And that's how carpets become lumpy. You could maybe find yourself in a place where you get overlooked in the workplace. maybe in your areas of influence, maybe things that have happened where it's impacted you or perceived to have impacted you in a negative way. These become part of the journey where there's lumpy carpet syndrome that we will find ourselves, and God actually wants you to deal with that today. So, with lumpy carpets comes broken relationships. And often what will happen is we can get offended very easily. We put strain on our relationships, and it becomes a very, very unhelpful thing. And some of us will even want to take revenge on those that have potentially hurt us, or we feel have hurt us. And so God wants us to live very, very differently. And that's why we need to make sure that we deal with this whole thing of the trap of offense. All right. It's very interesting. I got a statement here. It says, you will only go as far in life as your ability to overcome your offenses. And for many of us, we're stuck. We need to deal with this. And I hope today that God's going to set some of you free. So I've just got a few practical handles before we land and do some ministry here. Is how do we deal with being offended? Firstly, for those of you making notes, recognize and acknowledge that you are offended. I think for me, probably 99% of the journey, if you can accept that you have been offended, you've already drawn a line in the sand and you've actually set yourself in a space that actually Satan no longer has a hold over your life. So acknowledge that you are offended. Proverbs 18:19 says the following, a brother wronged is more underlying than a fortified city. Disputes are like the barred gates of citadel. In fact, if you want to know the story of someone in the Bible that was offended, if you remember Esau, he gave away his birthright and his brother Jacob was blessed. And what happened was he carried an offense in his heart. What did he want to do at one point? He said, when the time is right, I'm going to kill Jacob. And that's how weighty and serious this thing is. So let's deal with this by acknowledging our offense. Secondly, is be slow to anger. Say slow to anger. All right. Proverbs 19 verses 11 says the following. God's sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. Let me reread that again. It says good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. James 1 verses 19 says, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. One of the things that we are called to as saints, we are called to exercise self-control. So when somebody offends us, the Bible's very clear in it. It's telling us that you need to be slow to anger. We need to listen. And I think that's something that we all will struggle with. We all have a lot to say rather than listen, and we react rather than respond. The reality is that for most of us, we will all face some sort of challenge on a daily basis in the world. And for some of us, it's to a greater degree or a lesser degree, all right? But these things are real. So we're not saying, oh, we'll just run to Jesus and it'll all be well. No, we've got to face this process and we've got to deal with it and allow the roots of it to be taken out of our lives. And so as I look at this morning, I want to highlight a few things here. And I realize that sometimes we look at the offense. I find that the offenses that end up taking us out are the small ones. It's the small ones that become the lance in the boil that triggers us. It takes time to build up, and then it's the smallest offense. So it's not about the size of the offense. The smallest offense is the very thing that can actually expose your heart, and that is what the Lord actually wants us to deal with. Maybe for some of you sitting here this morning, maybe there's a consistent fault finding by your spouse. Maybe there's unfair criticism by your boss. Maybe there's a stranger that was rude to you in the shopping mall. And let me tell you something, as these things start to mount, so our uncomfortableness and our uneasiness starts to creep in. And again, what happens is the more we let this build up, what happens is we start to focus on the issue at hand. I don't know if you've ever found that, but I know that if I've been offended or I've been hurt, what happens is I can't focus on all of the other things. I actually start to get into a space that I'm like zoned in on the problem. Is anybody else like that, or is that just me? But we focus just on the problem, and that's what offense does to us. And so this is, again, the area that the Lord wants to set you and I free from. And God wants sanity to prevail for each one of us. He wants us to get to some place of normality again. So, point number four, for those of you making notes, go to the person and chat it through. This is a powerful scripture, Matthew 18, verses 15 to 17. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault or her fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Now, for me this morning, I think what is important is that when you have found yourself in a space where you have been offended by someone, what is important here is you go directly to that person. You know, the biggest breakdown of unity in the life of the church or in your home or any other area of influence is when we start to move and involve other people that are not party to that particular situation. And again, we must just involve people that need to be involved at the right time. This is what Scripture teaches. So you go to that person and lovingly go and present your situation to them. And I'm going to open that up a bit more for us shortly. So you go and you see them. If you involve anybody else before you've seen them, other than maybe a leader, your comm leader, your elder, or one of your deacons, I want to say to you, that becomes holy gossip and holy slander. And the danger of that is that's where the secondary offense kicks in. Because what happens is that person might have seen that particular individual. Let's say someone comes and says, okay, brain freeze, Trevor. You know, somebody comes and says, Rian, Trevor, you know, I've got this problem with Trevor, and, Trevor is quite rude, and I find him quite short with me. Now Rian didn't realize that actually Trevor was like it, because that's not how he experienced him. But now, because I've gone to Rian, what happens is there's something that tweaks up in him. You know what, now, and you'll start to find things, and you'll start to have a different perception of Trevor, and then what can start to happen is that thing can start to mount, and then what will happen is that he'll see Trevor in a very, very different light, and actually can prejudice Trevor as an individual, and he will judge him accordingly. And that becomes holy gossip, holy slander, and it is destructive. Rather, what should happen is, hey, Trevor, but I came in this morning, and this is just an illustration. Man, I felt that you were quite rude, quite short with me, and really it grated me. But I just want to clear, is there anything that we need to sort out between each other? And that's how we deal with things. And you'll see why this becomes important, how the person who receives it needs to respond properly as well. So I hope that's helpful for you. If you cannot make headway with an individual when you go and address them, that's the time that you go to your comm group leader, your elders, or one of your deacons, and you speak to your leaders accordingly, and you get them to help you with that. So with that, point number five, when somebody does come to see you, and I suppose you're looking at each other and say, that's not possible because I don't offend people. But when somebody does come to see you, listen to what Ecclesiastes 7:21 to 22 says, do not take heart all the things that people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. Your heart knows that many times you yourself have cursed others. So what we're looking at here is when somebody comes to see you, don't take to heart immediately everything that they say. Be open to the fact that they are approaching you, and we need to receive them in a way that we say, I'm open to hear what you've got to say. And I want to remind us that as much as somebody might offend us, it is very possible that we have offended others in our lifetime as well. Always live in that space, knowing that I've possibly offended others as well. And so I would want to be approached in a manner that will be helpful for me to grow and to learn, and we need to do the same with others. All right. So with that, when you go and see somebody and you want to raise a concern, do it with humility. Do it with love and point out their situation. I had a situation in the week with one of my leaders where I actually had to sit and say to the person, I dealt with three things, but the third thing I eventually said to him, I said, you know, bud, I love you so much. I said, but when I'm in conversation with people, I said, what I find you tend to do, and I did not even have to say what actually happened. And he said to me, I know, I just barge in on your conversations. And I overpower your conversations. And in that moment, he just said to me, I recognize it and I'm truly sorry. Please forgive me. This is how we deal with it. So it was done with love. He recognized it before I even told him what the issue was. And then he repented. And I said, hey, Brew, I forgive you. Let's move on and let's help each other on this journey. That's how we move forward. If we didn't deal with that issue, offense upon offense would build, and eventually we could break the unity in the body. All right. Is this helpful for you guys? All right. When you are spoken to, have a heart posture of humility. For example, Trevor, I felt that you did X, Y, and Z. His words could be something like this. Sure. You know what? That's tough luck for you, buddy. Hope you have a nice life. That's not going to build well with each other, am I right? What will happen is if he goes, sure, Ants, you know what? Thank you for bringing this to me. Thank you for raising this with me. I didn't recognize it. Perhaps I did do this. And if I did, if I've caused any offense or hurt in you, please will you accept my apology? Please will you forgive me? There's not a retaliation. There's a response of, hey, maybe I actually did do it because I might have been preoccupied with something and I came through the door and I just wasn't given the time. This is an illustration, so please don't stone him afterwards, all right? Okay, so is that making sense to you? All right, how we deal with one another. And then lastly, as I wind down here, very importantly, take your cares and concerns to the Lord. We need to cultivate a healthy relationship with God in these moments. We overlook an offense by looking to God. Learning to overlook big offenses usually begins with learning to overlook the smaller ones. And so whatever offense that you've got, you need to bring it before the Lord and you need to take it up with Him and you need to ask Him to help you to deal with this thing, because ultimately the heart of God is that we would show a heart of love, firstly towards Him, let Him work in us and through us towards others. All right. I'm going to land. Deal with the roots. If you find that you are easily offended, deal with it. Ask the Lord to reveal to you right now as you're sitting here, what is it that is creating the negative feelings, the uneasiness in your life from this morning? And for some of us, we need to make hard decisions. For some of us, you know, it's easier to hold on to these things when God is saying, I want you to let this thing go. I want to set you free. Because that's what Jesus came to do for you and I. He came to set us free from these things. And there is power in the name of Jesus. And we spoke about that this morning. There is power in His name. Do we believe that? Have we got faith for that? Because this is one part of your journey that the Lord wants you to walk in freedom. And so 2 Corinthians 10 verses 3 to 6 says the following. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought. Say captive. Every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. You have the authority. You have the power that is given to you by Jesus to override the offense, to override that which has made you uncomfortable. Today, you can rise up and you can say, no more. I'm drawing a line in the sand. I'm going to take this thought captive and I'm going to bring it in line with Christ's word. That's how I choose to walk it out. We need to rise up in our God-given authority. All right, move quickly to squash the ploys of Satan and take authority over your feelings and emotions because they lie to you. We need to hold on to God's word this morning. And this is my final word to you. Forgive quickly and get others to pray for you. You know what? We need to be mindful of the sin that we committed. And what did Jesus do when he hung on the cross? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. For you and I to look at our lives, we need to remind ourselves, if we are carrying offense and we're holding offense, it's like drinking a cup of poison and we're expecting the other person to die. For some of us, what happens is we're also holding on to offense. Jesus was the one who hung on the cross, and the Bible says he took the sin of the world upon him. Don't replace Jesus, because then you nullify the work that he's done for us. You need to be in a space this morning where you can say, Lord, I recognize that you came to die for me. I recognize that you came to set me free from my sin. And where I'm carrying offense, where I'm carrying secondary offense, I recognize as sin, it's offensive to you, God. And this morning I want to repent of that. And I ask you, Lord, to take this from me. That's very important for us this morning. And so I want to, this morning, land with a response from you this morning, where for many of us, I think we need to get into a place of just being real with ourselves in the context of the offenses that we've carried, or maybe secondary offenses. And I think what God has done this morning is he's potentially just highlighting by switching a torch on your situation, on my situation. And now we need to get to a place where we're saying, my line is drawn in the sand. I don't want to continue living like this. I don't want to be out of sorts. I don't want to be stressed because of offense and the things and the hurts of the past. I want to walk in freedom this morning. So as you're sitting here, there might be somebody here for the very first time, or you've been visiting for a few times. Jesus loves you. And you need to know that Jesus died on the cross for you to set you free from your sin. Anything that we do that is counter what we see in the Bible is offensive to God, and he wants to set you free from it. And this might be a moment for some of us here where we actually need to respond to Jesus and say, Jesus, I want to be set free from my past. And there might be somebody here who's never made a first-time commitment to Jesus and needs to respond to him this morning. And I want to give you that opportunity, maybe with your heads just bowed. I'm going to ask you this question. If you were to die today, do you know where you're going? If you cannot answer emphatically, yes, I'm going to go and be with Jesus, I want to say to you, this is a moment that God wants you to receive the good news. You know, you might look at your life and you might see the destruction and the pain and the hurt, but I have good news for you. Jesus has come to set you free from that this morning. And it's your decision today to hear the voice of Jesus calling to you and saying to you, I want to set you free. Will you respond to me? Will you receive me as your Lord and Savior this morning? Is there anybody here that says, hey man, that's me? Please just raise your hand. We want to pray for you. Is there anybody here that needs to receive Jesus for the very first time? Come, Lord. Going to give one more opportunity. Don't be afraid. This is the best decision that you can make in your life, is to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Is there anybody here that needs to receive him today? With our heads bowed, there's a second group of people. That first group, if there's anybody who wants to make a decision for Christ, you can come see us afterwards. But the second one is this. As I've preached this message, if you are living with an offense, come set yourself free today by acknowledging that Jesus has given us the divine exchange by taking the sin of the world upon himself. And this morning, if you have had the light of Jesus shine on you and you say, Ants, that's me. I've been carrying an offense. This thing has caught me. I want to ask you where you are to stand. This is a moment of truth. You're not doing this for me. If you have had offense in your heart, I want you to stand. Thank you. Thank you. I believe there's more folk here. You're not doing this for me. I want to see people walk free here today. I believe God is wanting to set the captives free here this morning. Thank you. Is there anybody else? I want to pray for you and we're going to land. Those that are standing, if you're comfortable enough, just open your hands. And just repeat after me, Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning. And I acknowledge, Lord, that I've been offended. I've carried offense and possibly even secondary offense. Lord, this morning I ask you to please forgive me for allowing this offense to put me in a place of self-pity. Lord, possibly that the offense has caused me to withdraw. maybe even to seek revenge. And perhaps, Lord, this morning I realize that maybe I've said or done things to retaliate to those that I perceived that hurt me. Lord, please, will you forgive me? And Lord, today I choose to live in a space that I will, as best as I can, go and make right with that person. This morning, Lord, I want to thank you that you are merciful. I want to thank you that you are kind, that you are gentle. And I want to thank you, Lord, that you've highlighted this in my life. And I want to thank you that when I leave this place today, that in the name of Jesus, I leave you free. I receive that now, Lord. Jesus, will you help me to live totally free from offense? I receive this now in your precious name. And all of God's people said, Amen. Bless you.